bad, dumb idea. No dumb idea. No dumb idea.
My life fades. My audio dims. All that remains are dumb ideas. I remember a podcast of chaos, ruined dreams, this wasted land. Most of all, I remember the KDI podcast, the hosts we called Dalla, Gibbledang, and Gym Leader Nate. To understand who they were, we have to go back to the other time, when the world was powered by dumb ideas, and the desert sprung great cities of pipe and stupid games. Gone now, swept away, for reasons I...
Hey, Gym Leader Nate, is that you? What are you doing on the wasteland? It's been like a week since we got out of the Vault 420. Holy hell.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Who's that on that dune over there? Is that...
Oh. Hey, sugar tits, me, Mel Gibbledang Gibson.
Gibbledang.
Oh, I think he went through with his plan of marrying Mel Gibson and taking his name.
Oh, that's right.
Crap. Okay, cool. It's better than the alternative of being a mutant.
Yeah, and we're making Passion of the Christ 2 and 3.
Oh, 3? I knew 3 would be the real moneymaker. I was hoping Mel Gibson would die so I could make it.
Yeah, is Mel Gibson the actual, like, he's the on the cross on that one?
Yeah.
He's got to be Christ this time, right?
What? Yeah. Fair, I think so. Which, yeah, I mean, shit, it's good to see both of y'all. I mean, different things are different. I'm a gimp now.
Oh, yeah, it's good to see you too. Oh, I see. That's a leather mask. I thought that was just your face now.
I mean, I guess it is, in a sense.
Both of my hands are hooks now, so I assumed everybody else was facing about the same hardship I have been.
Yeah, what happened to your voice, too?
I got punched
in the throat or something?
No,
that's what I thought.
I tried to eat some things you're apparently not supposed to eat, so I had like an allergic reaction, but only on the insides.
Okay.
So I have inward hives.
Hives, as they call them. Yeah. Well, here, I'll give you this steroid. That should hopefully help.
Oh my god,
he's a super mutant. Oh shit, okay, wait. I got an idea, Gibbledang. What if, to help calm down Gym Leader Nate, what if we just host a podcast episode today?
Yeah, I was gonna say, we could get into our weeks and that should, sure. Steer things back on track.
I'll help comp. Yeah. All right, let's sit by this. Gym Leader Nate, if you want to join, we're going to talk about our weeks. If you want to join us on this campfire.
Oh, are we podcasting? Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
If we're going to talk, we're
going to get into some stuff. Yeah, I can sit down.
Sure. Yeah, what have y'all been up to for this past week in the wasteland?
It has been an unproductive week. You know, speaking of the wasteland, I have just been playing Fallout in my free time, Fallout 4. Really, that's all I've been doing. It's the most...
Sounds productive.
It's the most I can do to decompress from my dog shit job that I'm going to be working up the courage to quit soon, you know. But I think that's just been making me feel super down. So right now, my main alternative has just been playing video games, you know. Like I said, well, just Fallout 4, really. I just watched the last episode of X-Men 97. I thought that was insane.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Is it out?
What?
Not the last one, but the most recent one.
I just was looking at my phone because I was like, is it Wednesday? Holy shit.
Yeah, no, same. That's what threw me off. I was like, wait, what day are we?
I was very concerned, very fast.
Yeah, by the time this episode comes out, the series or the first season would be over. But that show's been stellar so far. Well, I say so far, but there's only one episode left, and I doubt that it's going to be like
it bombs at the last. Yeah. I mean, it could.
It's been pretty sick though.
Yeah. And then last night, Smiling Friends premiered. It's the first two episodes. Yeah. And we had already seen the first episode that introduced the first episode of season two that introduced Gwimli, the yellow fake N64 character that got really popular online in real life. But the second episode was like an election episode, and I think that was probably my favorite episode so far. Really fucking funny.
I'll check it out.
Definitely check it out. Smiling Friends, one of my favorite shows.
Very Smiling Friends sounds very kid friendly, I'm assuming. Just a bash for small children, you know, just like a little friendly, happy, laughing party. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, show it to the smallest child, you know.
Okay. Got it.
I mean, honestly, babies. It could
it's work a show for babies, but honestly, that was, I mean, apart from that, we all watched Planet of the Apes, which I think we will talk about a little bit later. It's been a big ape week, ape month,
yeah,
ape last Monkey couple month. Months, yeah,
yeah. We could call it Mape,
like Mapril,
ape.
Oh,
Mapril.
Mape.
What's the? Yeah. I mean, April would have been perfect, but we're in May. Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's it for my week. What about y'all? What about you, Gym Leader Nate?
I've been all right. I've been, you know, trying to just keep productive as well, you know. Been getting some chores done a lot, which has been nice. Doing some cleaning and stuff, like getting my bathroom cleaned a little bit better. And then tomorrow I'm going to do more of it and actually, like, clean it. It's going to look really nice and make me feel a lot more comfortable. Because I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's like I have trouble keeping up with it. So when it gets bad, it gets depressing. So
fair.
Yeah. So other than that, just really playing Stardew Valley a lot still, and learned a lot about that game and how crazy it is and how much like RNG is actually put into the game, so that like each run is like very unique. So like it's been cool. I've gotten random drops that like I've talking to my girlfriend about, like, apparently are not everywhere and like not common. So it's like, even already on my first try, it's like a unique
you're getting game. Like rare. Yeah
a rare occurrence I got was the crop fairy showed up, and she can randomly show up and just instant grow all of your crops, and you'll just wake up the next day and they'll all be ready to harvest. So
that's cool.
Pretty sick. Do you see what she looks like?
Yeah, it shows a little cutscene. Like after you go to bed for the night, it shows a cutscene of her like coming in the middle of the night and waving her wand, and then you wake up the next day and you see what's changed, and you see that you have crops now.
Damn it! I got the crap fairy this time. Shit!
It's just shit everywhere.
She's the one that makes you have to clean your bathroom routinely.
What I wish I got was the carp fairy. I just want fish. Ooh. I love fishing in Stardew Valley. It's so much fun.
I wish I got the craps fairy that wants to play craps with me all the time.
Oh, I thought you were about to say back. Crabs fairy, as in the fairy who gives crab. You crabs.
The other day I took a crap fiery. It was not the best, but
that's actually my favorite chef, crap fiery.
it's so good. Oh shit, that's good. That's cool. Yeah
Other than that, just seeing movies that I'm yawning is the
big
other thing that's up,
boy,
I guess.
My
Jesus.
God.
I'm just like,
it's the mutant serum I put in on it makes you tired.
Hear it.
Yeah, when you're turning into a ghoul, the first symptom is yawns. Actually,
it's contagious.
Yeah, it's contagious. Planet of the Apes, or Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Very fun. That was a highlight for sure. Because I overall, I had a great time.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, my week is honestly, funny enough, very like similar, where it's like, I didn't do too much. I mean, I've just been stressed and some life things going on. So, just been trying to manage that. Whenever I have stressful shit happen, I always try to go out more and you know, do all the things.
Yeah, that's right. You said you were going to quit my job for me, right?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm sorry.
Interesting. Yeah,
I've got to build up the
nerve. I'm quitting on behalf of Gibbledang?
No, I was going to go dressed up as Gibbledang and be like, hey, it's me. I was just like, it's me, Gibbledang. I'm going to say my catchphrase, Yabba-doo-boo.
Yabba-doo-boo, I'm gone. Yabba-doo-boo, everybody.
As I always say, anyways, keep your pancake on the buttered side. Bye.
Yeah. Always wear your pants on your socks with your feet in.
There you go.
That's what I always say.
Solid advice.
You guys know me so well.
Yeah. Listeners go back to old episodes. You're saying all this in it.
Yeah, I never noticed. Exact quotes, verbatim.
Nah, but I've been just trying to, like, you know, get out. The weather's been great too, so it's like going for walks and take the dog out. It's funny. The other day I went to two stores. I went to a bookstore and a comic shop, and I bought a book at the comic shop and a comic at the bookshop, which is funny to me.
Nice.
Just like without thinking.
Never hashtag funny. Never let them know your next move.
Exactly.
I didn't even know my own move. I didn't expect to buy either of those, to be fair.
They can't know my next move if I don't know my next move.
Yeah. But the one thing I did watch, I binged in one sitting because it was just so good, is the show Jury Duty on Amazon.
Oh, is that the I've fake heard. One?
It's another night of you. It's so good. Yeah, for listeners, it's a show that's like basically it's advertised as it's going to be a docuseries about what it's like to be on a jury. However, the guy that signs up, there's only one guy that is not an actor, and the whole everything around the case is fake. Completely improvised, acted.
Yep.
It's so funny. It's so good.
The judge,
it's like
the lawyers, the people in the courtroom,
the plaintiff,
everybody is an actor except for one person.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's funny because they put him in the main role and everything, and he's like the protagonist. So it's like the show revolves around this guy, and it gets ridiculous. Like some of the shit, like in I think the second episode, they're talking about the case and what happened, and there's like literally like a minute straight where they're like they're interviewing one of the like witnesses, and like, yeah, he pee-peed and poo-pooed on himself. And then like the judge's like, well, I don't know about poo-pooed, but did he pee?
that's
like a minute of that.
It's got
me. We've established that poo-poo is hearsay. What I need to know is did he pee-pee in his pantaloons?
Yeah.
Objection. If case hereby, if you see the evidence, there's doo-doo feces all over the evidence.
it's literally that. There's like a part where it's like the first episode where there's a character, one of the characters talks to the main guy, is like, hey, like, how do I get out of jury duty? And the guy's like, well, like, I saw this one thing, like, where it's on Family Guy, but I wouldn't. It's like being, you know, racist. And then like later it cuts to them. They're like, hey, so why do you guys think you shouldn't be on there? And the guy, like, he like looks at I forget his name. I think his name is Norman or something, like whatever his name is. Or no, it's Ronald. That's what it is. He looks at Ronald, and just Ronald, it cuts to him, and he's like big-eyed, like looking away, like, fuck, don't say it.
That's so funny.
It's so funny.
That's great.
I would highly recommend, if you like Nathan Fielder's like shows, so definitely check that out. But yeah, that's outside of that, the three of us, amongst a few other friends, checked out Kingdom of a Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. Kingdom?
Kingdom of the idea of...
There
you go. Got it all in there. You're welcome.
Yeah, perfect. Solid. Flawless.
I guess the
movie. Not that, but I guess I'll start off and then y'all chime in. Just generally thought it was great. It's a good one. It takes place like in the farther future, which is interesting because it's like, to me, was one thing I'm like, how far ahead is this? Because it's like, but they kept it ambiguous because they can't really tell you. Like, definitely.
Yeah. Except so outside
the director did answer it outside of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What did he say? How long?
300.
300. Jesus.
Yeah.
Because there's like some stuff, and I think we'll try to keep the spoiler free.
Major spoiler free, maybe, and then like, but like some stuff we're just gonna talk about it. Like, so we'll do what we can, but no promises.
Exactly. Skip ahead if you want. If you're like, I want to go in completely blind.
Yeah, literally.
But yeah, no. It's like there's some things that you've later on that I'm like. how long have they been doing that for, or like this, like how long is this like civilization or this like group of people or whatever been going on? And so now knowing it's 300, I'm like interesting, I'm curious to see.
I guess just to pop in really quick, the whole movie, you know, it's about this clan of apes. Basically, you know, they kind of follow Caesar's, what is it, no, they don't really follow Caesar's
they don't they're just like a clan that like
they raise birds. Yeah.
They're a clan. Like they're their own clan.
Their thing is birds.
They kind of live very secluded in like the woods. They don't go past like I think they have their own forbidden zone, or like they don't go past the beyond, which is like a reference to the first movie. But basically, you know, it follows the main ape, Noah, who's like I think probably like a teen or like a young adult ape, whose clan ends up getting kidnapped and his village ends up getting destroyed. They end up getting kidnapped by this like tyrannical leader who's basically trying to amass an army of apes in order to like further like extend his kingdom and also get to like this it's like they're his expendable army. Very tyrannical, very
followers
mad.
Basically
and the whole movie's about, you know, Noah's journey to get his clan back, and you know, the people that he meets along the way, or you know, the apes he meets, or the human he meets. Yeah, that's the basic gist of the plot, like a, you know, a journey. I liked it. I thought it was really well done.
I was gonna say, it's I'm really happy that they I'm just really really interesting movie that involves a lot of apes and not a lot of humans, and I think that's what makes it even more interesting, is that it's just a ton of the really well-made CGI and like very cool acting choices. So I liked it.
It's very, so very fun. Investing. So often throughout the movie I was like, oh my god, I'm watching a movie about monkeys, and like I kind of you forget about it, and then you're just like, oh,
just
yeah,
Godzilla,
you know,
and Kong. That's X-Kong.
Sometimes I forget he's the size of the Eiffel Tower.
Like there's a point where you know, Noah, you see him cry, and you see you very much see the performances in everybody, in all the apes, and it's going to be very interesting because they say that they're going to release a mocap version of the movie, which I'm very interested to see.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you can see they're all of their performances.
That sounds pretty cool.
It's kind of which, you know, the twists and turns are basically what you expect from like a Planet of the Apes movie. It was really... I don't know. I really recommend it. I had a lot of fun with it. I would definitely recommend rewatching the very first Planet of the Apes movie before you go into this one, because I feel like it has the most references to that, as opposed, well, and as well as the trilogy that came right before it.
I feel like of all the Apes movies too, this is like definitely the least twisty. Like it's relatively straightforward.
I think even the twists are pretty guessable.
Yeah, you pretty much like assume all the twists anyways, and then they just kind of confirm it.
Something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you don't have it one on one, you're gonna know where the twist is coming from at least.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, it's obviously a new, or maybe it's not for obvious for listeners, but it's a new trilogy that they're doing. So it definitely feels like it's a new start of a new. Like, you can watch this. I feel you can watch this on its own, and you get a lot of the background, which is great. Like, of what happened before.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that, like, setup. Like, you don't have to watch all 10, 8 movies before, or 9 before this. It definitely helps, like Gibbledon was saying, with, like, the lot of references and things to kind of know. Like, to be like, what am I? Oh, I'm excited for what's coming next, you know?
But, yeah. It's great, because the movie even opens up with, like, a title card that lets you know, hey, this is Caesar, this is what happened. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's like a very, it just tells you what you need to know right before the movie starts. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It makes sense because it's a brand, it's like a fresh trilogy. So it's like, you want to give people a little bit of an intro. Yeah.
It's a nice way to do it. Like every three is a new kind of storyline. Like along, like that's what they're.
Sagas.
This is how I was hoping they were going to treat the sequel trilogy of Star Wars when I first heard it announced. I was really hoping they were just going to be like, it's been 300 to 500 years. Like, people remember Luke
reference
fondly in legend.
But that's
like,
it.
They remember our heroes in legend, but now the galaxy's different. New people have arisen.
What does that legacy mean? What does it mean to other people? How has it been? Which I really like. That's a big plot point in this movie, is the very, very much like, although all of the apes have like are now present, like the dominant species, they're all very conflicting in like clans and ideologies. Like they all aren't specifically like following Caesar. Like I think a big point is that mm-hmm. the main villain, Proximus Caesar, he's like bastardizing you know, Caesar's legacy while also confusing it with fucking Julius Caesar, which is very the historical
Roman general.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you got like Raka, the orangutan, who's one of the best apes in the movie, in the franchise.
The orangutans the always are. Like,
yeah. They always are.
That's my complaint, is that, especially with this newer series, is that there's always only one orangutan per movie in these newer series. True. I'm like, give me more. Just more. They're always fun.
There's no, in the new movies, it's all, there's one of each. There's a chimp, a bonobo, a gorilla.
I guess like one main, but a main there's one, not, yeah. there's literally only one orangutan per movie, though. There's none in the backgrounds, I don't think, of any of the others, or at least the most part.
I don't.
There's like just one.
I think it's interesting because they confirm in like when we meet Raka in this one, he just lost the other orangutan that he was like staying in hiding and researching with. So what that kind of suggests to me is that like orangutans like are like in small groups hidden away, and they just stay in hiding and they like don't really mix with the other like larger groups of different types of apes, because they, I don't know. Well, I don't know why, but. The first Planet of the Apes movies would say because they do it because they are religious clerics, and this one kind of confirms that, and that
it's like the start of it.
Yeah, they're like almost like monks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I will say in the original Planet of the Apes, it was very much like the orangutans, they were like politicians, and they also were very much like religious, almost zealots. I don't know if zealot's the right word. But they were like, no, we only follow the word of the law, the lawgiver, the ape, or the original orangutan or whatever. They would throw, it's very much like for their own gain, or what they thought was like the gain of the ape society. But really, it was just like negligence, and it was like stifling like growth in the society. Whereas the way Raka looks at it, and the way Raka looks at the actual, like, it's almost like the way that people look at the teachings of the Bible, and they like people exploit it, and other people are like, oh, wait, no, this is like what we need to do. It's like, I think that's just what I'm trying to get at. It's like they're both religious, but like, you know, Raka's like doing it for the betterment of like ape society.
And I thought like solid all the apes perfect performances. I loved the villain Proximus Caesar. It's like a great villain. I mean, he's like comes in pretty late. There's not too much of him compared to like other characters that would be like also villains or like henchmen, but for what we did get of him, it was like pretty solid. And I wouldn't say like I wholeheartedly agree with him, but I'm like, I can see where he's coming from. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like he's trying to just like, he's got like a good idea. Cause there's a bit. So the whole movie, I think about the movie overall, it's kind of just like, you know, humans messed up the earth. So now do they take it back, or are the apes is it their right to advance and take over the earth?
Do humans deserve another chance?
Yeah, so that's like kind of like, and Proximus is coming at it, Caesar's coming at it from like more of like a manifest destiny kind of angle, where like it's like a pretty cool like debate, and it's like I can see where they're coming from, honestly. They have arguments.
Yeah, well, he's
the way they're coming from it is the problem.
A mad philosopher, almost.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like perfect for someone, for a character who's obsessed with ancient Rome. Like that's perfect. So it's like, I think, you know, they play with that. They play with the fact that like Proximus found a human scholar to read him things he wanted to read. And so the human scholar has a little line that says like, oh, he loves knowing about Roman history, which tells the audience that this ape, not knowing that there's a difference, has just been asking about Caesar and getting stories about Caesar from the books, and it's all just been Julius Caesar and the other Caesars after him too. And the many emperors of Rome who were named after Caesar, like Caligula and other people like that. There's some pretty terrifying people who had the name of Caesar throughout Rome. So It makes a lot of sense that he's like more brutal. And like a good villain, his logic tracks all the way up into the point of where he disregards the lives of his people. That's always, it goes like, the he's like, it tracks all the way until he goes, and I don't care how many apes I have to kill to get into that vault.
Yeah.
Because he says that. Like, boom, I think he straight up says that. Right?
Not a good guy. Yeah. But that's always a mark of a good villain. You know, it's where all the way up until they decide to destroy the world, it, what, like, it kind of makes sense. And then sometimes with Magneto, it still makes sense.
Yeah, true.
Personally.
although you do get the notion that he's bad the moment he starts, like, the moment he's stealing apes from other clans. It's been like, right,
like, you know he's bad right away.
Yeah, but no.
But, like, when he's trying to win over the main character, his argument is genuinely alluring.
Yeah.
I still, it's interesting because they did, I don't know if they intended to, but they really made me hate the human characters, kind of. Like, at their best, no, I still kind of hated all the human characters. They, I was like, I think they did that on purpose.
The only good human character in this this series has been in
the first one.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Dawn.
James Franco.
No, not James Franco. The second one.
I forget the guy's actress name.
Yeah, Joel.
He's Gary Oldman's like second. Oh, yeah. Or whatever.
The one who like genuinely wants to like have peace between the two factions.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's a moment
the Terminator
where like
Genesis dude.
Yeah, I think at the very end they do the ape thing where they do like the heads, like they touch foreheads or whatever.
Touch foreheads. Yeah.
It's super. It's like very moving. Fucked up in the graphic novel or whatever, that dude tries to go to Woody Harrelson's character, the general.
Heard about that, yeah.
And like be like, hey, Caesar's a good guy, don't kill him. And this guy's like, ah, you ape sympathizer, and fucking kills him.
Whoa. So I mean, that tracks for Woody Harrelson's character.
Well, it tracks with the whole show, a series, because it's like everyone dies.
Everyone always like, dies. No, yeah,
like rare people mostly don't return for the next one.
Like Planet of the Apes, like they make, I feel like they make this really interesting point of like they're very big on like if you do like doing the right thing takes sacrifice, and that, and even after you've lost things because you did the right thing, it doesn't make it not the right thing anymore. It was still like the right thing to do. And like they kind of like try to show that with like Caesar's legacy is that, like, you know, in the end it ended very tragically and bloody for Caesar, but his legacy and the things that he can inspire into the future are positive and like made a huge impact because of that. So it's like, yeah, I think that it's very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, it's really good. It's like parallels to humanity. Mm-hmm. But any closing thoughts?
Monkey.
K-O-P-L, I don't know, O-A, I think.
Kapoda.
I don't know. Kapoda.
It's always...
Isn't it... Poda? Isn't it generally just CPA? Or KPA?
No, it's always... well,
other Poda, than that, don't get Poda technically acronyms. Oh, Poda. Oh, yeah. President of the America.
Closing thoughts. It was good. I recommend checking it out. Good sequel bait. And, good movie.
Gonna be a good trilogy. Yeah. Honestly, looks like a solid base for moving forward.
It's a good start. And I can't remember someone at the theater, might have been you, Gibbledang, but someone was like, I feel more excited for the next movie where this one left off. Maybe it was someone else, but it was just, that's one thing I agree with. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a solid. I'm excited for movie 2 and maybe 3.
And they've got to have space in it soon. It's got to have, like, this one alludes to space so much.
Space monkeys.
It's coming. Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Spunkies.
Spunkies.
But speaking of Planet of the Apes, you know, for some odd reason, I have post-apocalyptic on my brain. Hmm. Maybe because we live in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, true,
because
we're already in a dystopia.
Pre-apocalyptic this dystopia, baby.
But no, with Mad Max, Fallout, Planet of the Apes, all these dystopian post-apocalyptic movies, I kind of just thought maybe having like a, you know, discussion and do a little activity around that. But before we get to the activity,
is it a Coen?
I'm
kind of
curious. Yeah, it's a Coen book.
Let's go.
Unfortunately, though, I only have the box that has like all the different browns. Well, I mean, which is good because then we get different complexions.
Oh,
the
all the different fleshes.
Red, blue. Yeah, no red, blues, greens, or any of that. So,
that's all I need.
But I just had the thought of like, it's like, oh, it's fine, I'm a dog, I see everything in black and white anyway. Yeah. I got dog vision. Like,
I only do art in sepia tones, so it's right up my alley.
It's perfect. But before we get to the activity, actually, I wanted to kind of see and ask y'all the question, and without getting specific examples, what do you like in post-apocalyptic stories? So without giving like specific like movie examples or shows or whatever, what are some things in post-apocalyptic storylines that you enjoy or do like seeing?
I definitely
this will kind of help with the activity.
I love seeing the reclamation of like nature that nature has on the world, and like whether or not it's like it in whether or not it's like a nuclear apocalypse or like just overgrowth. Like I think it's seeing that stuff is super cool.
Yeah. Like it could be even like in I Am Legend when the trees and stuff overtake New York, or like the way it did in Last of Us. Yeah, I'm totally there with you. That's it's always so much fun to see how each like world designs it.
Yeah.
That's so good. It's so true.
Sorry, Dala, did you say not to list specific like references, or did you say we could?
You can. I would just say don't get too much into it and say like I like.
Yeah, I just thought we weren't supposed to just say I like this world. It's just if you name something that's true across a bunch of stuff, elucidating a bunch of different things.
My goal right now is to find the baseline of what a good post-apocalyptic world is or storyline is. So for like me, for example, I love freaks, like weird creatures, mutants, shit like that. Anything that like
freak. Something freaky.
Monsters.
Mutants.
Yeah like
results, mutants, a byproduct of the post-apocalypse,
whatever apocalypse was.
Yeah things that humans zombies have to fight, like these new. But I also do like the whole pathos of human versus human kind of level, like it's like we're feral now, like components of that too. It's like those are some storylines I like is in my post-apocalyptic stories. But yeah, I don't know if either of you want to add anything else regarding what makes a good dystopian post-apocalyptic before we jump into the.
I will say definitely one thing I definitely look for is like a good take or like a good commentary, you know, like having a good angle on the concept of what would cause humanity's downfall. Because there's sometimes where people make those stories, but like the way it gets there is kind of isn't that well written. It can be a little shaky, but there's a ton of other, there's just as many, if not more, that have really interesting, thought-provoking lores that like kind of make very specific commentary on different parts of humanity. And that's like, I feel like if you're going to tell a story like that, that's post-apocalyptic, you have to kind of say something. Because if you're saying nothing, it's like,
it's kind of like
it's like why even revisit whatever happens after humanity then?
Like, true like where's the hubris?
You got stories like Walking Dead that does that, even Fallout, you know, thinking of Fallout, Planet of the Apes, like it's all it's everywhere. Funny enough, like I really like Mad Max, but I don't know so much. Well, I haven't really seen the other movies.
Oh, you've not? Well, that's going to be unfortunate for this upcoming event.
I'll still win.
Sure. I will win this activity. That's not a game.
I feel like, well, maybe it's because I've only seen, you know, the new Mad Max, Tom Hardy Mad Max. They definitely feel like it doesn't matter about the apocalypse or whatever. It's just you're in that world. You know what I mean? You're just, and then this is happening. You know what I mean? But in that case, like, it doesn't matter what the commentary is. It's just, that's just a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
It has commentary, but it's not in the forefront. And I think it's like, that seems like a world to me, at least that movie, where it's like, we need the world to be like this for the storyline to be. Because I mean, I guess you could make it in modern day, but it'd be kind of weird to be like, I guess they could chase each other. It just would be through a city and it would just wouldn't. Yeah.
I think it's more like instead of heavy-handed like moral commentary, it's much more just like it's just a general presentation of look at the depths of depravity that humans can descend to but can also survive.
Yeah.
I think that's just inherent with almost any post-apocalyptic story is always the hubris of man and what we've done to ourselves to get us to this scenario. Mm-hmm. But with all that being said, I thought for today's activity, it would be fun if we rank different post-apocalyptic worlds, or like media, I should say.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So.
Can I, oh my God, is that going to be one of them?
I have 23 options, and we'll go through these, and then at the towards the end, I'll ask if you guys have any others that aren't here.
I see some good ones.
So we're just going to kind of go through and rank. So I have the ranks here. We have S tier, which is super mutant good. S tier, top tier. That's like what we want, the perfect.
Yeah, okay. That's like amazing apocalypse. Wait, and this is like the quality of this apocalyptic story's like entirety. Like everything that goes into that universe's story of
yes,
the apocalypse.
So the whole, okay. If any comment, if so, if it's like, well, let's start off with let me get through all the rankings, then we'll
gotcha.
Get to it. Yeah, sorry. Also, I'm jumping ahead too much. Basically, then we have A rank, which is apocalyptic good. B, borderlands to good, kind of like the borderline to good.
Okay.
C, contaminated. D, that's deserted.
It's iffy.
Yeah, and then F is like freak, like bad. But yeah, okay. So let's get one of them out of the way that we've kind of talked a lot.
Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, we'll take that again.
Yeah. So let's start off actually with one that we've talked about in a little bit already. Is the Planet of the Apes franchise?
Ooh, I love the kiss. Okay.
Yep. All right. The kiss icons. And Planet so I think we'll do majority rules, kind of where, and all three of us will just kind of
as a whole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just kind
of so
cooperative.
All of these are going to be as wholes, right? Like Mad Max franchise. You know, we're not just
yeah,
the specific
so new and old. Yeah.
Comics show, like if it has comics, it has movies, spinoffs, all that.
S tier, baby.
S tier.
Planet of the Apes, S tier.
And I guess for listeners that don't know Planet of the Apes, I'm going to go back to our listener retrospective, but it's about us killing humanity being replaced by apes.
I would say A tier. I don't know if I could commit to S. I don't know. I like Planet of the Apes, but I don't know if I could commit it to S tier.
I think as a franchise, I like it, and it's, like, really good. I think as, like, an apocalyptic world, it's interesting, but it's kind of just, like, a repeat of humanity, in a sense. And it's
humanity,
it's got
too.
A story, but...
It still is a... It does still have the things that you defined, you know? It's got the the folly of man, you know, the emergence of new cultures and
my
different things
with...
because of that. Yeah. That's why I think
it's
S-tier.
Like... I feel like it's missing the extension into like in the freak zone because like there's not a lot of crazy stuff. It's just they're just monkeys. They're just
they
monkeys
got
that
super
talk.
Mutants.
They
so got super mutants.
They did have
they
did have the telepaths. They do have the telepaths. But they only feature that in like one movie out of all of them. Like I don't know, I gotta hold solid with A. I feel like there's others that just go more with it and I like the more.
All right, next one.
I think we'll start with that, and if we want to switch it around later we can.
Yeah, sure.
But number two I have is the 12 Monkey Universe, which is basically the movie and then there's like a show which I haven't seen. For 12 Monkeys, it's basically the world. There was like a terrorist event that happened. World's in shambles. Bruce Willis gets sent in the past to prevent the terrorist action, but he got sent too far back and then he gets placed in an insane asylum.
Yep.
It's a pretty solid movie. Terry Gilliam, I think, is the director. What are we thinking?
Sounds like a good movie.
So,
I haven't seen it, so maybe B for good?
I've seen this movie. I've never been super hyped about this movie, honestly. I thought it was good. I thought at times it was, like, overly enigmatic and just, like, I don't know. Like, when it got into, like, the time looping thing and, like, the whole, like... Oh, this has already happened, and like
the time travel stuff,
and then like it reveals that like all of this, like his whole life is based off of this event he saw,
spoilers. I haven't seen it.
I mean, that movie's been out for so long.
I don't care.
I haven't seen the show. Gosh,
waiting.
I would say this is like a C. Like, there's not a lot to it, but it does like do one weird creepy thing kind of well. It's like creepy time travel, and it's like I feel like that for that it can't go low.
I agree. I haven't seen it in a minute. I used to like watch it every. I liked it. It's a good movie, solid. I think based on the post-apocalyptic component alone, too, where there isn't really much that we see in the post-apocalypse. It's more about
exactly. It's mostly being back in time.
The 90s. And yeah. I think I will put it in the contaminated sea range because yeah, I think that's like it's a solid movie. It's fun. I think for the purpose of the post-apocalyptic component, it's not as pivotal.
Yeah, duh. And
yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen it.
Makes sense.
So see, it is. All right, next one we have is Le Walking Dead. This is both comic, show, spinoffs. Something I've not seen, to be fair, or read, to be fair.
Yeah, that's so probably S tier right there.
It's S-tier? It's S-tier. Hard because it's probably. I feel like it is probably going to be S tier, and I'm. It's hard for me because I can't be objective about it. I'm so particularly like over zombies as a whole that like now anytime I look at zombie based media, it's like it takes a lot for me to like actively like it. And
to be honest, when I was making this list, I almost made a tier or like a category that was just all zombie movies because I'm like they're all, but I'm like there's some good ones, there's some terrible ones. Let me like pick out a few.
I think what saves Walking Dead for me is the quality of the graphic novels.
Okay, fair. Y'all were saying S tier?
Yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being S tier. Because, I mean, I watched the first, like, 5 seasons of the TV show and eventually dropped off. But, I mean, I still had a good time when I was watching. I just, like, I don't know. I think it really was just I got tired of zombies and it wasn't really on the show's fault. I just, like, literally just got tired of the idea and I needed some other things. It's the world's
fault.
Yeah, the zombie boom.
Yeah, the zombie boom was rough.
true. All right, so we have Walking Dead on Super Mutant Good. Next up on the chopping block, Le Fallout. Games, show.
Come on.
Other thing.
S tier.
That's S. Yeah, that's an immediate.
S tier. Wow.
Maybe even like
double S tier.
Double S, yeah. Or like
double S.
Or it almost makes me want to move like Walking Dead down to A. Everything just down. To signify how much better Fallout is.
And because I don't think anything else on this list has maybe apart from Adventure Time has had like a generational impact or like a pop culture impact, like looking at the way Fallout is right now. And yeah, you know,
it's like Fallout's been building this like cultural impact of being like the new wasteland, a post-apocalyptic like world. I feel like it used to be very Mad Max very much did have a stranglehold on that with like things like Mad Max and Terminator, like in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. Like, but then like now I feel like Fallout is there where it is just absolutely, it's just so good.
I'm surprised the show really is like taking a footing. And no, it's got my freaks. All my favorite freaks are there.
So many Death freaks claws, and weirdos,
ghouls. Yeah,
rad scorpions.
I think being a video game too, really, just obviously, like there's so much more interactivity that you're in the world itself. So that's why I was like, I agree. Yeah, I would put that as an S tier.
And then the show finally hit, and it was killer.
And it's like, yeah, now that's why I'm like, then now everyone's mom won't shut up about it.
Yeah, literally.
All right, next video game we're gonna talk about. Gears of War, baby. I ain't gonna lie, it's one of my top games. I love the style of it.
I hate the style of them.
I was about to say this is the style of thing that I hate. It's just like you that hyper brutalist. They look like Warhammer. Like,
come on, they look like Warhammer characters.
If all the Warhammer characters were like the same, looked like exactly the same and had the same stuff, like it's like the whole. The beauty about the Warhammer is that it's like everybody paints their things different.
See, for like, me,
all the characters are different. But go on.
For me, that dips entirely into a different category of like space marine shooter, alien killing fucking thing. But I know that they're
it's neither of those.
I know that it is, but it's like I feel like that just dips into a whole other kind of. It almost jumps over the post-apocalypse kind of thing into like a different.
Obviously you haven't played the games.
Yeah, I'm putting an F.
Yeah, I've only ever played multiplayer Gears of War. It's hard to judge because of that, because I haven't played the storyline. But in terms of just like the vibes of a post-apocalyptic world,
F.
It's like, because this makes me just think more sci-fi alien fighter.
Yeah.
I would still say D, because I still think it has... I would say C. Honestly, it has redeeming qualities, and I had a lot of fun playing it still in the multiplayer. Yeah. Just like the lore wasn't the thing I was playing it for. I was playing it for the chainsaw gun.
Mm. fair. I will say, like, it is not what I think of when I think post-apocalyptic, but it very much is, especially by the time, so this is what I love about Gear. I'm going to put it in the D tier, I think, to average it out.
Okay.
From F to C.
That makes sense.
Whatever. Yeah. But really. I love the creature designs. I love the weapons are fun. The way that you play the game's fun. But the storyline's actually like really interesting to me, that it's like they're not aliens from space. They're basically creatures from underground coming up and causing this and then you find out later there's creatures that are causing those creatures to come up because they're getting fucked over by a disease that's like causing essentially explosive zombies.
So these are subterranean races that are coming to fight humanity.
Subterraneans.
Cool to me. Yeah.
Subterraneans.
I think I love too is like each game you just see the world get more fucked up as it goes, and by the third game it's like they're living on like boats in the water because there's like flooded. They flooded the earth, like a lot of it, and it's cool. It's not the most like tear jerking story, and not the most like meaningful like storyline, but it is fun as hell. To me, and then just like all the things are really intriguing and different. I see it now.
That's fair.
You don't say no until you've played them. I love it.
Yeah. You haven't played the story. You can't say.
Nah, that's stupid.
Yeah,
I say D's. Next perfect. One up is.
That's why I was like, oh, I will agree that the post-apocalyptic. It is a post-apocalyptic world, but it is not what I like would first jump to, especially compared to like Fallout or something.
Yeah, it's just not an iconic one.
But yeah, next up is Akira, the anime movie.
That's a good one. It's really interesting because
in my argument initially was like not including it because it's more of like a dystopia than a post-apocalyptic. But in the intro, it says in a post-apocalyptic Neo Tokyo. So I'm like, all right, counts.
Yeah.
If they say it, they say
that's
it.
That's true. Man. That's true. It's like everything outside of Neo Tokyo was like destroyed. So
yeah.
If it counts, then like it's S tier. It's got to be.
Okay. We put in.
I would put it at like B. Mainly B because B. of like. Yeah.
The post-apocalyptic component of it isn't on the forefront.
On the forefront, exactly. It's like, it's much more like, very much like. Sci-fi, like just a monumental sci-fi horror for me, but like it's also like I don't know how to describe it, but I just feel like
it's an S-tier movie, but it's like for this category it's different.
Maybe it's an A. Put it in the A.
I would accept an A. I would accept an A. I think it's just like, it's also just because of lack of like expansion. It's like some of these other things are so big and so fleshed out also that like comparatively Akira very much is not. So
yeah, there's the comic and then the movie.
Exactly.
That's probably it. Maybe a video game. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. At least not a lot that's mainstream.
No, yeah. That's a pretty straightforward.
The man.
So A for Akira.
Yeah, for the two A's it already has. That's why Planet of the Apes got P, right? P rank.
P for Pooperino. For P.
This next one, I think, is like movie. Only
hey,
I have
it's
seen.
Me, Bender. Sorry, go on.
Oh, you're good. So I'll give y'all a chance to talk, and if not, if you haven't seen this movie, I will describe it, and then you can rank it. But this is Night of the Comet, the movie Night of the Comet.
I don't know that at all. So
okay. So here is the rundown of the plot. it's set in the 80s. A comet, I think, kind of Halley's Comet, essentially. Passes by Earth, which causes the majority of the Earth population to turn into either dust or cannibal zombie-ish people. We follow three 20 to 30-year-old teenagers as they adapt to the new world and uncover the mystery of the extinction event. It's a fun 80s movie. It's essentially one of those ones where it's like the last people on Earth kind of storyline, but there's like cannibalistic zombie people. It's fun. It's a fun, good one, in my opinion. But I'm curious, what would y'all throw this knowing nothing about it.
The movie I haven't seen that you just told me about?
Haven't seen, yeah, it. It has to do with zombies.
Probably going to have to put it in S tier, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be... S tier, okay. That's definitely going to be an F for freak for me, because if it's just a miscellaneous zombie movie, it's exactly the movie I would never want to watch. So
it is not. It is not a zombie movie, in my opinion. Even though it's sometimes
didn't
listed.
You just use the word zombie
this
to
cannibal,
describe?
Cannibalistic zombie-ish. Okay. There's like two zombies okay. in the movie. That's why I'm like, I don't consider it. I'll throw it in a D.
I would say you can go ahead and rank it wherever you wish, because you're the only one who's seen it.
Seen it. Fair.
Yeah, a lot of this like is in your own opinion. Well, in my opinion, this should be on the list.
Well, yeah, I was like throwing on stuff I like. Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff I haven't even seen.
I'm looking at a picture of Bryan Singer right now, and I'm just wondering why the fuck that's there.
Well, do you want to know why? Hold on. Because we're going to talk about The Road. Post-apocalyptic movie, The Road.
Ah, The Road. Jesus Christ.
See, this
one
is
that
damn,
I have not seen.
It's a damn good one. It's just like, it's so bleak, and it's not, it's just a real post-apocalyptic movie. Kind of movie.
Yeah, no damn, sci-fi, really no depressing. Fantasy.
Yeah.
Just
I mean,
straightforward. Okay.
I'll put it, I would honestly say S, just in the sense that it's very realistic, and it's like, yo, this is what it would be like if, you were in something like this.
Yeah.
No, that's a great one. If not S, then
it's
A.
Like, it's about like a guy trying to take his boy like some across the like nation or something, right? Kind of like is the plot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say S for realism.
S for real.
I say B for realism.
Ooh.
the realism is kind of like that's kind of a mark against it, because like I don't know, like I feel like if I'm going into a post-apocalyptic world, I would like at least some pizzazz and some
sci-fi
design and something. Yeah, if it's all just gonna be in the woods and gray, and I'm just gonna like
No freaks for me.
Not exactly. Like, there's no freaks. Not a freak in sight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, not my cup of tea.
I'll take the average and put it in the A. I think that sounds, because of the S to B.
I feel like that's still pretty
too high.
Presumptuous for The Road.
Fair, fair.
I
haven't seen it, so I can't.
Of these other ones, we're going to give The Road an A.
I mean, do you guys can duke it out?
I read the book it's based on. Ooh. Yeah,
oh, that's right. It's on a book.
It's very popular among Christian Bible studies.
Oh, so fucking course, sick.
My whole family has
that means it's
that,
an S. But... What are you talking about? Shit, you didn't tell me about this Bible part. S for the Lord. I mean, I'll throw in an A just for the average.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. You have
Le Samurai Jack. He travels back in the past to play shitty games that suck ass.
S, done.
Now to fight.
I don't know. I feel like that's more dystopia too. Like, same thing with Akira.
Yeah. That's one thing I was kind of on the fence about including it initially.
I feel like that one feels very post-apocalyptic just because he's trying to prevent the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, prevent, like... I guess that's... Yeah, it's a little hard because it's not the world's ending. It's the world changing for the
just
worse.
Change it to shit.
Being taken over. So is conquering an apocalypse?
I feel like a lot of series takes place like in the past and different time periods. So it's not like
I'm hearing F tier, so I'm throwing it.
Post apocalypse. Yeah, no.
True. It's mostly It's mostly like a time. It's not an F, but it's time mostly.
No, I know.
It's
I'm
mostly
joking.
Like it's a time show. Yeah. It's like.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean,
very,
I guess that would
like
be the
more
same.
Sci-fi first before it is apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. That'd be similar to 12 Monkeys, I feel, in regards to, like, it's taking more place in, like, the present than it is in the apocalyptic future.
Yeah. I want to give it an S just because it's so goddamn cool.
It's, yeah, I but really based on Samurai the post-apocalyptic
Jack.
Component.
I would say it's at least a B.
I'd a B? Say C. I think C is nice. I think it's very fair.
Yeah, I was going to say it's...
Feels
I think
bad.
We'll do majority rules.
Feels terrible. Feels
nothing's
terrible
on the
to see Samurai Jack next to the movie 12 Monkeys.
Good.
But it's based
it
on post-apocalypse. All right, Gibbling, I know you've been waiting for this with bated breath. We have X-Men Days of Futures Past, both the movie and or comic.
The movie, which is actually and very
fitting. Movie, comic, whichever, you know.
It's just the whole continuity, the whole story.
I'm going to do B.
The storyline.
B for Borderlands, good.
I'd agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Well, majority of that is also taking place in the past.
In the past. But that's definitely an apocalypse, though. Yeah, like, that is... True. That is, like, the world that they're trying to prevent. It's crazy.
The Age of Apocalypse comic, if that was on there.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been a good one to throw in, too, actually. They both are. I wouldn't have a reason to put a picture of Bryan Singer in the B category otherwise, and this is probably the one and only time he's ever been there. So.
B for Brian.
A for
Akira. C for Samurai Jack. Anyways.
Yeah. We're getting pretty cool. Actually, going through this like somewhat quick, actually.
Is that the... Oh, it's A Quiet Place, isn't it?
Yep. We have Jim from The Office in Le Quiet Place. You know, there's a new... Like, is that... Was it Loud Place? So how are we feeling on Quiet Place?
C.
You know, the movies, the upcoming one as well, going to theaters now.
I think in terms of... I gotta say D, honestly. In terms of just how bitter, like, their lack of, like, of reason and, like, logic and their world design and, like, apocalypse design is. Like, it just makes me feel so bitter towards it. I've seen both of the movies, and I still want to go see the prequel, because the thing that doesn't give them an F is they design a cool looking monster, and I like seeing it kill people. And so just because of that, it's not an F, because they got a freak.
They do have the freak. Like,
but
D is perfect.
The rest of it just does not hold up. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the moment you start breaking that movie down, it's like, oh wait, how did the whole world end? How did the whole fucking world end?
And like
what breaking it down.
Yeah. And like the fact that
you start questioning.
No, like characters don't make decisions that anybody else would make. They do things that like you like that they need to happen so that the movie can happen. And it's like every time it happens, you're just like, oh, what is why? What?
It's like, stop being stupid.
The very premise favorite. Right from the beginning, the fact they're still just on a farmhouse and have taken no precautions to move somewhere safer. Crazy to me.
My favorite bit is the fact that Jim in his like underground like basement office thing, he's got like a board, like a whiteboard with a bunch of notes on it. And he's written down, like, what is the cure? And he's, like, circled in, underlined.
And it says, like, what is there? In a corner, it just says, like, sound? Question mark? Sound question.
It's like, why would you write this down, dude?
The visual storytelling is just super heavy-handed. Like, which, I mean, like, I guess it has to be, because the whole point is they're not talking, but... Like,
there's ways around that.
You don't have to be that obvious.
Yeah. I guess the problem is you have to go simple enough that people that can barely read can follow along with the hell's going on. So that's why people that can read well, it's like, but all right. I haven't seen them, so I'm dead, you know, in the deed.
What's the next one?
Up next, we have Fist of the North Star.
Ooh.
With Kenshiro, the anime, the one that was inspired heavily by Mad Max.
Very prolific anime.
Yeah, it's like one of the first shonen.
Yeah, it inspired a lot of different animes across the years.
Essentially, the plot is this gentleman, Kenshiro, goes around the wasteland and just kind of fights people.
Yeah.
To save the poor. And he has like this sick-ass kung fu where he does like pressure points and causes people to explode.
Yeah, he has these giant
specialty punches. But I'm curious where y'all would place it.
I haven't seen it, but A for anime?
Sure. I'd say A for anime sounds great. Yeah, because also like in terms of inspiring other animes and other animes that also turn out to be apocalyptic too. It's like this is a big one. I kind of wish I don't know. You might not know about the show, but I don't know if you've heard of Scryde. Another like apocalyptic anime that is absolutely worth looking at if you're ever interested.
I'll have to check it out.
basically, yeah, involves people who, like, the, like, who can manipulate matter itself. It can just literally break down matter and reform it, but they can only ever reform it into one thing, and, like, that's their thing. It's like they can just make that thing instantaneously. But yeah, it's just like, it's the whole entire world. It's like the whole entire story is post-apocalyptic after a huge meteors hit the Earth, and the radiation from these meteors is what made some of the survivors start having powers.
No, oh, shit. That's like Scryde or Scribe?
Yeah, Scryde. S-C-R-Y-E-D.
I'll have to check that out. That sounds cool. Because I love me some Kenshiro, Fist of the North Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scryde is a very similar vibe of like of the wastes and like the post-apocalyptic lands.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I'll check that. I mean, where would you throw that and Scryde on this list, actually, since we're on the topic of that, since I don't have it on here?
If I were to put Scryde on the list, I mean, it still would probably be like a B or C just because of the fact that, like, they focus a lot on the futurism part of it. But,
gotcha.
Yeah. But still, like, B or C.
Like, solid.
Like, honestly, it would probably sit right next to Samurai Jack.
Just they can have a beer together.
Chill. Really, really awesome. Really raw. Really cool to watch. But very focused on the powers because it's an anime.
Oh, fair, fair. All right. This next one is something I've seen as a recommendation from Lag9K. So this one's more for Lag9K. And I don't know if you've seen, have either of you seen The Quiet Earth?
No.
No, I don't think so. Quiet Earth. Mm-mm.
A quick rundown. It's another one of those Last Man on Earth storylines, but then he runs into like two other people. And it's very much like a mystery of like what happened and like, eventually he runs into two people and it turns into like a poly like relationship.
Poly, P-O-L-Y. I see.
Like a polyamorous. I wanted to throw on for Lag K's purpose. If he listens to this, let me know where you're gonna put it, Lag K, as I'm gonna put it in a C.
You said it's called The Quiet Earth?
Yeah. It doesn't literally turn into a polyamorous relationship, but like to me the vibes were very much pro-polyamorous, like, funny enough to me.
1985?
I don't know if it's on there. I hope Last Man on Earth isn't on there, right?
No, I almost put it on there. The Will Forte one, right?
Yeah, have you guys seen it?
I seen season one back in, I think, part of season two. That one I remember being funny, but I hadn't seen it in so long, so I was like, I can't remember.
Oh, God.
I remember liking it. Where would you put it?
I would put that one at B. I would put it at B, because I did fall off.
Okay, okay.
But I think I watched the first two or three seasons. But The Last Man on Earth, just a quick rundown. It's about Will Forte, who is the last man on Earth. And he has like a bunch of, you know, in the opening episode, he's got a bunch of like tennis balls, basketballs, like with faces on them, like Wilson. But a bunch of them, like they're all his friends.
That's amazing.
He's driving around America in like this big tour bus. I think it's like the president's tour bus or some shit. Like he has the Declaration of Independence, like shit like that.
Because why not?
No, it's very much like, why wouldn't you do these kinds of things?
He's about to kill himself because he's just like, all right, this is it. Like there's no one else. And the moment he does, he sees like a fire in the distance. He's like, oh my God, like there's someone like making a campfire. And he goes and he runs into Kristen Schaal, who turns out is the last woman on Earth. And he's like completely elated. He's like, oh my God. And immediately he's like, so can we like repopulate the Earth? And she's like, are you kidding me? Like, I have to get to know you first. Like, we have to go on a couple of dates. Like, you know.
He's still holding up these, like, high standards. I mean, like, she should. But, yeah, it's just funny.
So, they go on a couple dates. You know, he really has to, like, give it his all and, like, win her over. And she's like, well, okay, yeah, I'd have sex with you if we were married.
And yeah, I was gonna say they don't
get married. He's so. I mean, obviously, that's he's lonely. So funny. He's like, fine, yes, we'll get married. And she's like, he doesn't like her the whole time. He's like, oh, fine, yes, fuck, we'll get married. They get married, and I think on the way back to them driving back to like their fucking house that they took over, they get into a car accident with another car, and this hot woman comes out.
January Jones comes out
and
smoking hot.
She's like, immediately she's like, oh my god, another man, thank god. And Will Forte's, it's like, fuck.
Yeah,
it was.
I think they become like neighbors too.
That's
right?
That's so funny! Oh my god!
In a couple, like couple seasons, or over, you know, over a couple seasons, they find more people. You know, I think they start to unravel what happened to the Earth, this and that. I think it might have gotten canceled before it finished up.
Like figured out. Gotcha.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing I like is like when they don't give you what happened. Sometimes depends on what the like story is. Like, I love a zombie movie where you never find out, or like, that's, I guess, to jump back to Quiet Earth, that's one thing I like, is that slowly find, the protagonist finds out that he's like, oh, I caused this, like, shit, and then so he tries to rectify the, like, thing by saving the, it's cool. Like I said, Lag9K recommended it, it's solid. Also, check out The Last Man. It's probably on, like, Hulu or something, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I need to rewatch that, because, anyways. Yeah, I was gonna say. Actually, we have a good one. I think.
What was the next one?
Adventure Time.
Yes.
The show, the kids' show.
That's gotta be S tier.
Yeah.
No shit. Okay, that's unanimous. Wow.
S tier.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolute S tier. Adventure Time is one of the most interesting like takes on post-apocalyptic. Yeah. You know, I've seen it in a long time. It is genuinely like so refreshing and so fun to like learn about the things that they put into their lore, and like when they reveal that the four elements that govern their universe are fire, ice, candy, and slime.
Nice.
It's funny enough.
I feel like whenever, because like I've only seen one episode of that show. Whenever people tell me, like, talk to me about it or tell me about it, the one thing that they're always like elates them, or I don't know if elate or makes them like just brightens them up, is like,
I'm elated.
They're like, dude, it's like post-apocalyptic too. Like, that's the one thing everyone always mentions right off the bat. Like, they're like, it's so crazy. It's a post-apocalyptic world.
It's like one of those trivia night, like trivias. It's like, oh, like, did you know? Because it's like, that's what I was gonna say. I like, is it's not, it's kind of subtly like a post-apocalyptic if you just watch random episodes and not really.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's like you have to really look underneath, and it's just a fun, funny show. It's got a bunch of freaks, as I love to see.
It's a post-apocalyptic show that doesn't actually tackle a lot about like why the world ended. It goes over it and you get to learn about it, but like that's not really wrapped up in the main moral messages of the show, because the main moral messages of the show are still about like what's happening now, like in the post-apocalyptic world, and like how Finn is having to like learn what it means to be human in a world where there are no humans, and like having to like discover his own humanity through non-human interactions. And also such a beautiful story about how an idealistic, kind of like ready for rough and tumble violence kid learns sensitivity and like learns how to like live his life with like peace instead of always through aggression. And it's so well done, because you would never look at Finn's character and think like this is an aggressive, like violent person. And then they basically break it down later on, like they break it down throughout the show about like tendencies towards like good violence, quote unquote, is still a tendency towards violence.
No, nice.
Yeah, just so intriguing. Has made me cry so many times. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, no, it's a beautiful story. It's one I really need to get into, but I just haven't. I don't know, so much of it.
It's worth getting to the end too, though. If you're ever looking to get through something, like it is really worth putting the time into.
How many seasons is it? Do you know?
Six, I believe. No.
Okay.
Let me double check. Probably more. I think more.
No worries. In the meantime, this next one I included because I wanted to do another comic book post-apocalyptic world. I don't think either of you have read this storyline, but let me know. Have either of you read Wonder Woman, Dead Earth?
No. Can't say I have.
Daniel Warren Johnson. Beautiful art.
Janiel.
It's a great story. It's basically
Janiel. Yeah. Yeah,
January Jones drew it. Basically, just I'll do a quick little. It's Wonder Woman wakes up. She's in like the post-apocalyptic. Like it's literally like a dead Earth. I think the only things alive outside of her are like mutant humanoid creatures that are like Cronenberg, like the Thing, like John Carpenter's The Thing looking motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. It has one of my favorite like just little, I don't know, like scenes or whatever, or like weapons, where Wonder Woman goes, she finds Superman, because she's like, let me find the hero. Superman's a skeleton on his throne in the Fortress of Solitude. And so she takes his spine and his skull and infuses it with her whip to make it like a powerful, because his bones are indestructible.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's just a really cool, like somber story. I think it'll be like sad, kind of like The Road, but it has like this art style of like a dark Adventure Time in a sense.
I'm looking at it, some pics of it said, right now. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it's great art. Just like I said, fun, like interesting story, and kind of like somber, kind of hopeful. But all that being said, I'll just throw that next to Bryan Singer. You know, I'm just in the B's here because I think it's a pretty solid. I think it's one where it's like, I would love to see more of that universe, but there's just like three issues. But yeah, so the next one that I'm sure both of y'all have some feedback is The Last of Us. Video games, show.
Probably comic A book. Tier. Well, maybe S tier just for like cultural relevancy.
Uh-huh. I'm going to say S tier because it's one of the few zombie like stories that I think like did a really nice revamp on it that I really appreciated.
Oh, definitely.
I think the whole fungus, the zombie fungus take on it, you know, it required it to be a lot like even more like fantasy and sci-fi, but I think it improves the post-apocalyptic feel a lot when you have like those roving like monsters where
clickers
and then like how like if they were to keep making Last of Us games, like they would still like keep introducing more ways that the mushrooms evolve into new things. So it's definitely an S tier.
I was gonna say A,
but I'm like, yeah, I'm down with this honestly. I think funny enough though, Last of Us for me, it's like, it's very much like come for the clickers and stay for the humans. Cause to me, the most like invigorating part was like, oh, there's humans and they actually are fucking scarier than the like clickers to an extent. Cause it's like, you know, like you meet and like genuinely you meet people and you're like, I don't know if this is going to be an enemy or a fight that's going to break out after this cutscene, or if this is like someone that's helpful. It's a great, like, the human story, and
the clickers serve the like aesthetics as like an extension of like the force of nature.
Yeah.
And it's like,
exactly. Yeah.
Whereas like the real interpersonal over, like, conflict is between the people,
the humans, and how to survive with this new like disease or thing going on. Cause I was gonna say, even the clickers, don't they get like molded into the ground after some time? Like they get like fused to wherever they like.
Yeah. Eventually they basically become full mushroom plants. Like it's like, I think that's inevitable. Like the same way that like the zombies inevitably like melt and break down.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Right, let's keep this dystopian future thing going with Stephen King's The Stand. Something I've not seen, but I kind of got the understanding of. Have either of y'all seen this or no?
No, I know that it's critically acclaimed, but I don't know anything about it.
Let me read a little rundown that I typed up, or that I like got from the wikis. The plot centers on a deadly pandemic of weaponized influenza and its aftermath, in which the few surviving humans gather into factions that are each led by a personification of either good or evil and seem fated to clash with each other. King stated that writing the story, that he wanted to make an epic like Lord of the Rings, but the book was difficult for him to write because of the large number of characters and storylines. So to me, that sounds like annoying. the amount of characters that you have to keep track of. I think the whole undertone of like Jesus versus devil component is going to bring it down to me, for me, because that's like a big component of it, kind of. Not Jesus particular, but like good versus evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm...
what do y'all feel in?
I'm looking at it real quick. Like,
I have no real attachment to it. I haven't seen it.
Same. I mean, I've seen clips, but yeah. M-O-O-N. That spells...
Yeah, let's say
D tier.
I would. Yeah, I think D tier is probably good. Honestly, also in terms of like the design of its apocalypse, very bland. Very like, oh, the government, like somebody was working on a virus and the virus got out, and now.
Oh.
Yeah. Like
fucking Abu Dhabi.
It's like, and it was even like an avian. They even called it like an avian virus, and it was like, so it's like they just made it. We're like, oh, what if bird flu actually was bad?
It's like, okay. I mean, have you seen it?
It's pretty bad, but I guess this is worse. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I finally realized what one of these pictures is down here, and I'm glad it's on this list. I made a note of it because I was gonna mention it later, but never mind.
No, that's why I was like earlier. I was like, don't go too much into any particular franchise because I don't want to be like bury the lead, you know?
Yeah.
But the movie you're talking about, I assume, is Doomsday, right? The 2008 movie Doomsday, in which it's like a post-apocalyptic Scotland and everyone's quarantined, and it's like basically Mad Max versus like knights, Celtic knights. That's the movie you're talking about, right?
No, because now I need to see this movie at any cost. Excuse me.
Oh, it's not
Dalla's favorite movie, if I recall.
Yeah,
this sounds amazing. Yeah,
D for Doomsday. Honestly, okay. My experience with this movie. I'm gonna give a short story. As a dumb kid, when it was in theaters, I wanted to go see it. I didn't tell my brother, and I wasn't old enough to go see it, at least rated R. But my brother was with me, and so we snuck in. We got, like, Drill Bit Taylor tickets instead, and then we were like, fuck it, let's just sneak in. We got kicked out halfway through the movie. I'm like, fuck, because I never finished it. And then one day, when it was coming out on Blu-ray, I bought it, finished it, because I was like, I really wanted to know what the hell happened. And I was like, damn, that sucked. That fucking sucked. I waited like a year for this bullshit. I think funny enough, I think on Blu-ray it came out the same day Soul Calibur 4 came out. Because I remember getting that and being like, playing that and be like, that movie sucked. What the fuck? It's a good idea. It's interesting. It looks, the way it looks is like, is if Wes Anderson, the Resident Evil guy, or not Wes Anderson, Paul W.S. Anderson. Is it Paul Anderson? Paul W.S. Anderson?
Paul
the guy that did the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah,
Wes Anderson. No, if he did, it looks like a movie.
Was Linus Andersonius?
Yeah. I don't know about y'all. I would throw it in the F tier just because it's a freak to me.
F for freak that I'm going to watch because that sounds hilarious. Yeah. Like,
hey, if you want to watch it, I have it on Blu-ray. I'm down.
Oh, fuck
I still have it. So
down. Very.
We're getting close to the end. I think we have 5 left of these, the ones I've selected. The next up we have is the Hunger Games franchise.
S tier.
Districts.
Now, personally, I've never seen any single one of them, but I think that they're on the S tier.
Watched all the
they're a good joke.
I watched the movies, didn't read the books. Still a solid, like, okay. So I, joking aside, they wouldn't be S tier because the world when you look at it and how much it makes sense makes like zero sense, but I am a big fan of anything that is like that's main message is like, oh, the people that make up the United States are actually terrible, and if this broke down into new governments, it would be really bad for us because the oligarchies would fuck everyone. So I like that part a lot. So
sure.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
However, fill in. Like, no freaks.
There's a freak in there. Her name is Jennifer Lawrence.
No freaks.
Jennifer Lawrence is a freak. Jennifer Lawrence is a freak.
Yeah, but that's different. Kind of she's like freaky. I'm talking about like that's just because she's in that new movie where she like tries to like date rape a 19-year-old or something. But
Jesus,
I swear that's what the movie's about.
I'm sure it is. No,
I promise. I promise. So,
my gosh, what a choice.
What's the current one?
Wait, are you gonna put it in F? No, I'm gonna say put it in like.
Oh, did she said?
No, I was saying it. My critique was that it had no freaks. So it can't be S.
Oh, that's why I was like
I was saying not S tier because it has no freaks. So like automatically, if there's no freaks at all, I think it's got to go to A.
You're gonna say A
because it's still.
I was gonna put lower. I mean, I don't know as much as.
I mean, I'd be fine with B. I still think it's still like a pretty solid universe. Has really good messages to it.
Yeah, fair.
The love triangle.
It doesn't stick out to me as post-apocalyptic, and like you said, the stuff I do know, I feel like is just like it's kind of dumb. It's like the fucking purge. Or something.
Oh,
you know?
Actually, yeah, it's not.
It's a dumb idea.
It's like not a post-apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. It's just dystopian.
Is there not like a post-apocalyptic event?
I don't think there's an event. No, it's just dystopian.
Oh, okay. Well, when I Googled it, it came up on a list. So
really?
F-tier,
I think that's probably, that must be a book thing you have to know about.
Maybe. Or it could have just been a list where it's like dystopian and post-apocalyptic, they're the same, right? I'm like, there's a lot of overlap, but no. I mean, I guess we'll throw an F for that.
Yeah, we'll throw it down there.
Okay. All right. We have four more. Next up, we have Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth comic book by Jack Kirby. Little fun fact is initially it was going to be DC Comics wanted to do Planet of the Apes comics back in the 70s. However, Marvel got the license, so Jack Kirby made his own, where it's very much very similar. Character wakes up in, or no, he's like born in the world, I think. Post-apocalyptic. He gets his name from the place he lives called Command D, like Command Base D, hence his name Commandy.
Okay.
It looks like fun art. It's got like mutant dog people, wolf people, monkey people. It very much looks like a Planet of the Apes ripoff. Interesting. But like different too. Not knowing anything really of it, I would probably throw it in a C just because I don't really know much about it, but it sounds cool.
I guess same.
Yeah, I guess same, I think that'd be fine. It does look very heard of interesting.
I wanted to make sure to include some comic books, that's all. And that was one. I'd want to read it. All right. Speaking of comic books, 28 Days Later.
Oh.
Where are we throwing that bad boy?
One of the, I and like that zombie story.
Months and years.
It's
a good one. That's one of the good ones.
I think it's hard because it's a really good one. And I think either A or B. Only B because we haven't seen the post-apocalypse yet.
Yeah.
It's all been pre... It's not even dystopian. Yeah.
Well, we will in 28 years later, I imagine. I would hope.
Yeah. I would say... I would say B or A. Yeah, I think that's very accurate.
Yeah.
I love B. The original... The first movie.
Yeah.
So good. Just so good.
Oh, so good, yeah. God.
If this was zombie movie, it would be like... Or a zombie tier, this would be S. No problem.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the movie was
about. That was my first zombie movie I ever saw, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was 13 days later.
Yeah, no, it was, what do you mean, 28?
Sorry, 20, 13, I said 13 on accident, 13 I don't know why.
13 days later.
13 ghosts later?
I saw.
Actually, I think I might be thinking of 13 going on 30. I think that might
yeah,
be.
I think that, yeah, I think that's a zombie movie, right?
That's the one where yeah,
a
he
zombie
wakes up
in it, Jennifer Garner?
He's 30, but his dick is out, right? I think is the thing.
Yeah, it is 30 inches long.
That he date rapes a 19-year-old.
Yeah, no, that's Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah,
only,
yeah.
Actually,
that's just her.
It's exclusive yeah. Right. She has exclusive rights to that.
All right, Jim Leader Nate, we have the one you've probably been waiting for all day.
Yes.
Do you want to tell me what that is, or tell us what that
yeah,
is?
Yeah. Why the Last Man?
Yep.
The show. The show only, of the show of which featuring Gibbledang's doppelganger.
Oh, nice.
That is. Gibbledanger?
The Gibbledanger.
The comic and the show. Would you like to do a quick plot breakdown of like the general synopsis, Jim Leader
Oh,
Nate?
Yeah. So, Why the Last Man, fascinating story about a nice what if of what if every single living thing on Earth that had a Y chromosome died at the exact same time? And what would happen to society? And what would happen to the people who were left? And how would people keep going? And it's very interesting. It does center around the only man who lives, which is, his name's Yorick. And
hence the name Y.
With a Y.
Y, you know.
And the chromosome.
The chromosome and Y for Yorick.
And his favorite color is yellow.
And it's funny because Yorick is famously a character who is the most famous scene featuring Yorick. He is dead in Macbeth. He has a skull. And so the only living man is the one who's named after it. A skeleton in Macbeth.
yeah.
And then, yeah, and his monkey Ampersand is also the only other male creature to have survived this devastating event.
Yeah, plays with gender a lot and like society
lots of
roles,
comments on gender. Yeah, about, yeah, like,
so F-tier
immediately. Only women F-tier. Automatically passes the Bechdel test. But I would say, yeah, I personally would put A, because
that's literally what I was thinking.
I stand by no freaks, can't be S. So
fair. It's a very, yeah, it's much like The Road, where it's almost like just real life what would happen almost.
Yeah, just after one big sci-fi thing.
Yeah. I don't know, Gibbledang, if you have anything you want to share regarding a thing you haven't read.
Haven't read it, haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I own this entire one in paper graphic novel format. Same. If you guys ever want to borrow. Yeah. It's
same.
That one.
This was one I bought the first book. I couldn't put it down and immediately bought books,
was everything
two
okay?
to six. Yeah, yeah, and I still have it in my hands.
It's glued.
It's sat on my hands.
Oh, God. It's glued. Yeah.
So, wait. You sat on your hands? So you.
Every time you see me, I have like this cutout of paper just stuck in like wedge from, of my hand.
From
like
some piece of the Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
Nice.
But no, it's one I picked up all the others immediately. I think the only reason I was going to put it not as high, I mean, similar, there's like not as much like sci-fi components
no
in outside of some of the more smaller stuff, but just well, also part of the comic, there's a couple books that get a little filler to me, I remember, 100%. Like in the middle, but outside of that, great story.
Something that helped me a lot was the fact that I only read it in like big, in the big compendiums. Mm. And so like nice. When it was getting into some of the filler, it's like I knew that like I was like, okay, well at least I know there's more in the back. I would flip to one page and kind of like take a peek at the at a picture and be like, ooh, okay, there's stuff to look forward to.
Yeah. It's a good end too, so it's not like I feel like it's not one that ends poorly.
The end is where it really takes its like sci-fi fantasy turn too.
Yeah.
Where so it's like exactly. it's interesting cuz it is very gritty realism for most of it, but then at the very although I do like the, you know, very big just like with like Planet of the Apes, very big like cultural new cultural foundations like critiques and about like how, you know, about how new like sects of people arise that all like kind of like start to find each other based off of like how they mutually want to deal with the world and what has happened the same way. So pretty cool.
Gibbledon.
Does it look like I have a giant microphone right now?
It does right now. Actually, it looks more like you just have a tiny head.
Tiny, yeah.
Like
it's just the head though. Yeah, if I'm the like, rest right of me is normal.
Look, so we got to do this.
Giant mic, that's what I think. 10 giant mics out of 10 giant mics.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you put that giant mic? In the S tier, A tier, B tier?
F for freaky. What?
B. For freaky.
You can hear everything.
Put it in B. That way we have B, four in each.
Yeah, nice. True.
Oh, true.
B for mic. Anyways.
Before we get to the cream of the crop, the whole catalyst of this whole tier game activity, whatever. Is there any that you feel were missed that you want honorable mentions, you know, that you'd want to throw on this bad boy list?
Oh, absolutely.
Last Man on Earth. Will Smack, what is it?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
100%. I Am Legend's a good one.
Wish I'd added that one.
Yeah.
Where are we throwing that bad boy?
Oh. probably B.
B.
I would say if you're counting the book and the alternate ending that is the actual ending of the book.
Yeah.
I'd say an A. I would personally say an A.
I would agree with the book and as an A. I think the movie a B, even with the other ending personally. I think the book movie is just cool because of the whole premise of it being what it is.
Yeah.
Without spoiling it. But
yeah.
But the movie is like, it is, I don't know, it's just like, oh, once you know the book, it's like, that's so much better. They should have just done
it. Yeah,
it
is very
way.
True. Yeah.
But it's solid. But yeah, so we got Will Smack up here in the B category next to Bryan Singer.
Other
A-ish.
Honorable mentions, I would say definitely Terminator.
Terminator, yeah.
It's another good one.
So Terminator, I think, is a huge one that is, I would definitely count as apocalyptic. But it's just another one of those weird ones where since time travel is involved, a lot of time is spent not in the apocalyptic part of the story.
Well, we could.
There are some movies though,
we
that
can only watch Terminator Salvation.
Yeah.
basically, yeah. It's such...
Insert Christian Bale's mid-set breakdown here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that clip. That was.
It's fucking rotten.
I don't get how you can even get a fucking job if you can't stay out of the fucking scene.
Oh, whoop de doo, walking through the fucking set.
Yeah. So where's that? Where's the Christian Bale screaming, losing his shit? Gonna go S tier.
S tier.
Because that's pretty post-apocalyptic to me.
I mean, Terminator. I feel like that's. That's S tier. And you got the freaks because you got the Terminators.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, yeah, yeah.
Should we also, should Matrix also be on this?
Sure. It was originally. I cut down the list because I was like, that was one that was on there.
Yeah, because Matrix is definitely post-apocalyptic. I would say that would be an easy S tier too for Matrix. Yeah, that's like great mythos, great apocalyptic event.
Yeah.
You know, similar with like the freaks. Yeah, the like AI, you know, advancement of technology destroying mankind. And like the concept of pollution and overpolluting the entire world.
I would put it in the A or B because I'm like thinking about it in comparison to Terminator. I'm like, I'd rather Terminator.
Oh, see, I would always rather Matrix.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. I really like the Matrix. It's until the internet taught me to hate them, I liked Matrix 2 and 3. So.
Oh, gotcha. I hate when the internet makes me do that stuff.
It happens. Let me hate my bad movie. People like point out all the things that I glazed over and didn't like really care about, and then they were like, "No, but like think about how dumb this is." And I was like, "Oh man, now I can't not."
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
You love being the person who does that.
Yeah, baby.
Ruining things for people. Let's go.
Let's go.
So any other last honorable mentions before we jump into the big daddy of them all.
I will throw one out there, a little sprinkling, just one more anime, Dr. Stone.
Sure.
If you've ever heard of or seen Dr. Stone.
I saw that on list.
Great.
I haven't seen it, but I've seen the list.
Great on list anime if you love science. Okay. It teaches you science as it does the anime, where it's about a kid who's a science genius who wakes up thousands of years in the future. After everybody on Earth got turned to stone, all of a sudden he wakes up and he's not stone anymore. And he has to figure out how to... what he's going to do and how he's going to restart civilization, but he's a genius. So luckily he can figure out how to use the raw materials to do all the crazy science things that the humanity used to do before. And it's about him going step by step by step from Stone Age back to modern age in terms of like inventions and how far he can skip ahead in between based off the resources available. Very, very good anime.
All right. But, now, the entree, the creme de la creme. Matthew Maxithew.
Yeah.
Mad Max himself. Where post-apocalyptic Adam. We got Angry Adam, we got four movies with the fifth oncoming, Furiosa. Super stoked to see that. Fury Road's, in my opinion, GOAT, one of the best.
Yeah,
Mad Max 2 is really solid, really cool. 3
is a hard
pretty
one.
Good.
So the only one I've seen, I've only seen Fury Road.
Oh,
based on that, then see, I saw the
older ones.
They're all fun, but they don't go in expecting Mad Max Fury Road because that's a different movie. That's the fourth movie. If you're gonna go watch a first movie, let's expect the first movie.
Yeah, because I'm not the biggest Mel Gibson fan, but I do love that one clip. Yeah. Insert the clip here of him calling an officer sugar tits.
Is that why you called me sugar tits earlier?
Yeah.
I didn't connect that. It's so funny.
It's me, Mel Gibbledingson.
Yeah.
Gibbledingson.
No, honestly, the fun thing about the Mad Max movies, too, the old ones, is he doesn't talk too much, so you don't have to hear Mel Gibson.
That's true. He really doesn't.
The only thing, the first movie is very much barely, it's more dystopian than it is like a post-apocalyptic because it looks just like it's modern day Australia. really. But yeah, how y'all, based on the movies you have seen or the games or whatever you've seen played,
I personally view Mad Max in the BA category. A little bit more B for me, just because I feel like it's really focused on like the cars aspect of the design and like the and like the, I don't know, the like junk futurism aspect, which is like, which is fun. I just think
its own style.
It's a little lost on me, especially, and they obviously doubled down on everything related to that when they made Fury Road. And, you know, not enough freaks. They have freaky people, you know. They have people that are freaky.
But I don't know about that, man.
They got some good freaks.
It's the freaky
They're not
franchise.
As freaky as Fallout,
true.
But they're still freaky.
I need some true freaks, you know what I mean? Like, it was even hard for me to, like, leave Why Last Man at A, but I would say this is also A, actually. Now that I'm really thinking about it, because it does have enough freaks. It does have a good...
Like a good sprinkling.
Yeah, because they it get has more very freaky series, people.
Like, as it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
they're Australian, dude. They're all freaks. What the hell are you talking about? Like, that's where all the freaks...
So I'm just going based off of Fury Road. Like, it's, you know, that was just a wonderful movie full of, like, you've got freaks and their own little freak society that's, like, all centered around cars and whatnot. You know, you got your different, like... You do see different environments throughout the wasteland and how it was, like, you know, I think they do mention that there's, like, this ambiguous, like, fucking event that turned Australia into, like, a wasteland or whatever. And, yeah, just seeing the different, like, cultures sprout out from that, and I don't know, it does feel, I think it's S tier. I think it's just based off of that movie. I haven't seen the other ones, but, you know, just going off of that.
I'd recommend. I actually was going to say, when I got to this... I'm going to say S tier because I think it is one that it's like what I think it created the wasteland. Without this movie or the franchise, we wouldn't even have Fallout.
Exactly.
Fallout and like Kenshiro. Like, it's really the progenitor of the post-apocalyptic and wasteland. I was down to move it down. I'll move it to an A, but then with Gibbleding, I think the majority rules component. But no, I think just also like what I love it has some the right amount of like a good amount of freaks, those Australians. I love the style of it. I mean, it's the one movie that I could say that gets me excited to see some cars too.
There's never a movie
that and Lightning McQueen. That's it.
Lightning McQueen.
Don't look at my Google search.
Or is it just when you watch Cars or see Lightning McQueen, you get excited? No,
it's
just him. Cars.
It's okay. Only Lightning McQueen himself. The only trustable car.
I tried the
car.
Lady car, and it's just, it doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you forgot her name, even.
All right.
With her tramp stamp and all.
Throw it in the stupid S tier.
S for stupid.
S for stupid dumb.
Yeah. It's just like I said, it's because it's like the progenitor, and it's a series that surprisingly just gets better with every installment.
That's
and
true.
It's consistent with the director, which is amazing. It's like rare to see.
Yeah, same director, really been, right? All five?
Yeah, like he's just kind of like, let's remake, like, one came out, let's remake that, make it better. Kind of like the Evil Dead Sam Raimi kind of, how he did that. It's cool. It's a solid one. It's highly, I'd recommend it. You know, it's got a lot, like, a lot of the motifs, like, you know, wasteland guy with the dog, you know, wandering around.
True.
The, you know, quiet main protagonist, like, a lot of that stuff comes from this, which comes from Shakespeare, which comes from wherever the fuck Shakespeare watched. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You're like, nope.
I mean, wandering warrior tropes. You know, that's freaking that's old as hell. But yeah, this is a good way to. This is it was like the modern reinvention of adding that to like this dystopian wasteland.
Oh yeah, like I said, it's definitely up there. If not S, it is for sure at least an A in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm stoked. Still comfortable with it there at the end of S tier.
Yeah. And I know we're all stoked for Furiosa, so
I am. Maybe we should it looks cool.
Go see if we could find a theater in this wasteland that plays it. We do that, listeners, let us know too actually how you feel about this. Where would you put some of these things? And is there anything that we missed as far as any dystopian or not dystopian, post apocalyptic futures or anything?
It's a good question.
You know, feel free to reach out. But yeah, so where can people reach y'all in this wasteland?
You know, y'all can reach me. I mean, you probably won't find me or I won't respond, but I'll be at Gibbledang on Instagram because, you know, nice. Like I said earlier, I'm going to be even deeper in the wasteland in Fallout 4 and just completely disassociating. It's beautiful. It's my day.
Nice.
I had a 3-day weekend. It's flying by, let me tell you.
Yeah, when you're really in the video games, you just time travel.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've
been
that's
there.
Your fast travel.
Yeah, it's a fast travel. It's the wait button.
I'm realizing I love RPGs. Like, it was the same. The last game I played like this was fucking the infamous Baldur's Gate. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah, so. Infamous. Yeah. You talking about Infamous by Sucker Punch, right?
Infamous.
The game.
Yeah. It's Second Son.
Yeah, the video games.
No, I'm talking about Sucker Punch by Zack Snyder.
There you go.
Ooh, that's my favorite video game. But yeah, what about you, Gym Leader Nate? Where can these other super mutants find you?
Yeah, if I may, you know, send a carrier pigeon or other form of analog communication.
An eagle.
To Gym Leader Nate. Yeah, an eagle. Ooh. Or like a little weird dude on a bicycle that like is powered by chainsaws. But yeah.
That's sick.
I was trying to give something Mad Max.
Like a
inspired.
Mad Max character? Yeah.
I was thinking more like Gears of War, but I guess not.
Both.
I'm thinking like two, like four chainsaws, two in the front, two in the back.
Yeah. And then the two in the back are set to reverse so that they're all like spinning the same direction. It can climb over
same
stuff.
Time. Nice.
It like cuts through like things as it drives. Anyways, yeah, if I made a Ghibli internet, I have...
Nice. Yeah, and you can find me at dadala.art on Instagram. And like I said, if you have any rankings or anything that we missed for dystopian post-apocalyptic futures, you know, reach out to us at No Dumb Idea on Instagram, YouTube, Gmail, so forth.
I want to see like monster truck. Monster truck, but skateboard instead of like...
big wheels and skateboard?
But like monster truck size. You know what I mean? There's
one
guy.
Monster truck.
And he's like, he's got a bunch of levers and he's going like,
or better yet, it's like a crew of like six people who like all have to actually steer it like a skateboard and they all have to like jump onto one side and like make the whole thing turn and they have to jump on the other side and make it turn.
But there's a big engine at the bottom too, like a big turbo jet. Yeah, like I put a jet engine.
Just fucking going.
Yeah.
See, I would, mine would be a big monster truck, but every wheel is replaced by like a beetle bug like car. So it's just four cars.
You were going to say four monster trucks.
Or even better, yeah, just towering up.
Mine would be like,
that's, it'd be called so the good. Fortress or something.
There you go. Mine would be like one of those big wheel bicycles, you know, with the little tiny little baby wheel in the back.
But the
wheels themselves have rockets attached to them to spin them in a circle faster.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Mine would be four gimps instead of wheels.
I would just ride people.
Four people.
And instead of being at a car, I'd be at home in my room with them.
With Lightning
instead
Queen.
Instead of in the Mad Max desert, it would be now.
Alright, that's
all right,
fun.
Bye, everyone.
No, no.